tomorrow evening begins Yom Kippur. And the Minhag Yisrael, the custom throughout North America, Eretz Yisrael now, is we begin Yom Kippur with the famous Kol Nidre service, which is probably the most populated service there is all year round, that people come for Kol Nidre. And in fact, that's why I like to say, maybe at Kol Nidre we should read from Parshas HaMoleh and fulfill our biblical obligation of Zechiras HaMoleh, because you could do it all the time, and there are more people here who haven't heard it the whole year. Yeah, I kind of say it tongue-in-cheek, but then, so, or, you know it's bad when a guy was, you know, one of these people work in the city, New York, I guess, you know, investment banker, businessman, and, you know, he's Jewish, but he strayed away, he basically hasn't been observant, and he's coming home one night, he's trying to get out of his, office, and he's all this traffic, so he sees this Italian police officer, and he says, "What's all this traffic tonight?" He says, "Oh, don't you know it's the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur? It's called Nidre. You know you hit rock bottom when an Italian cop is telling you it's Yom Kippur, and you don't know." But I think he turned around after that, because other times you hit a low and then you bounce back.
I thought the cop was going to get a police escort to him to go quickly to the
I guess he still had time. Yes. But so either way, so the custom is to say Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre, most people have no clue. They think Kol Nidre must be one of the holiest prayers around in terms of words, how important. Most people have no clue what the Kol Nidre is.
There's one Pesach of a country who decided that it was nonsense, Kol Nidre. That the whole idea of annulling vows in the future. I can't remember the name, but I saw this in a book somewhere.
Assuming you do it in the future, you're assuming something.
Yes.
I heard others were against it because someone told me others abolished it because people weren't paying back their loans afterwards.
What I heard wasn't practical like that. People, you know, that people then not pay back. No, it was just chattering. You know, that's what he said. I can't remember the name of the
book. Either way, so Kol Nidre, the ancient text is, Kol Nidre is about Hataras Nedarim. It's about annulling vows. Vows, promises we've taken promises one takes. So Hataras Nedarim is undoing the vows. So the ancient text was always, what vows are we undoing? So the simple pshat was, the ancient text was, this past year, we just went through a whole year.
Yes.
So all the vows we've taken in the past, we're going to annul. And Rabbeinu Tam and others disagreed and said, no, it's a declaration for the upcoming years. Any vows I plan on taking, those I want to become null and void. So the postgame, so today we combine both versions. We talk about the vows of the past and we annul the vows of the future. So that's what Kol Nidre is about. It's about annulling Hataras Nedarim. And we do it three times. The Chazan does it three times. Why three times? So really, strictly speaking, you only need one time. So why do we do it three? So some point out, because what's so special, as we'll get into, what's special about Hataras Nedarim? There's no source for it in the written law. It's totally an oral law halacha. You won't find any, if you look through the Chamisha Chum Shito, you won't find anything about Hataras Nedarim.
Sorry, Rabbi. What we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, is there a source for that?
No, so that's not Torah. I'm not saying there's not a source. I'm saying there's no biblical source. I said it's a Torah Shabbat Pes source. I'm not saying there's no biblical source.
Okay.
I'm attacking the Karaites. That's who I'm attacking. The Karaites who only believe in the written law, so therefore it was against them. And therefore, they did it three times for emphasis to show, look, you guys don't know what's going on. We do it. But really, strictly speaking, one time is enough. In fact, speaking of Erev Rosh Hashanah, people have, they do a Torah, and then there's a Beis Din. So the Beis Din, it says something about Hakol. Hakol Shuyim Lach, Mutur. There are three languages I don't remember in front of me. So what does the Beis Din do? They read it three times. So really the truth is you don't need to read it three times. The text has it for you. So really, you only have to read it once, but people read it three times anyway. But either way, so really, Ikarei Din, you only need one. You only need to do Hataras Adarim once, but they do it three times for emphasis, I guess, to keep the people interested, keep them staying a little longer before the appeal. So the question is, but okay, so great, so you do Hataras Adarim, we figure out Kol Nidre is about Hataras Adarim, undoing vows, whether it's last year or the coming year, great. But you can't find anything, why now? But, you know, before Yom Kippur, one of the holiest and important days, and you know what? Let's just decide to do Kol Nidre in the middle of nowhere. Like, why would they institute Kol Nidre before? What message? How are we setting the tone? It's like, I set the tone, and the rest of the day is up to you. But Kol Nidre is setting the tone. So what kind of relationship is there between? It seems to be like random. Oh, why not do Kol Nidre on Pesach? Why not do Kol Nidre on Shavuos? Like, what's this Kol Nidre before Yom Kippur? What's that all about? So there are different schools of thought on what the relationship between Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur are. So they point out that what do we do? First of all, we do it before Yom Kippur. The meaning is that we start, let's say sunset is about
6:20,
must be later.
Candle lighting. Yes.
Sunset must be like 6:45. I don't know, I'm making it up. But let's say the shul is going to do Kol Nidre around, let's say, 6:20. We're going to do like 20 minutes before sunset, or, you know, whatever time it's going to be, at least. Why do we do? Why don't we just do Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur? We actually do Kol Nidre before Yom Kippur. So, and then, anyway, we want to bring in Yom Kippur early because of Tosefes Yom HaKippur. But why do we do Kol Nidre before? Because the halacha is, you're not allowed to be matir neder on Shabbos or Yom. If you have a vow and you want to undo your vow, so the halacha is, all things being equal, one should not undo the vow on Shabbos and Yom unless it's nogeya to Shabbos. For instance, let's say someone foolishly took a vow, they're not going to have any meat and potatoes. And they realize, well, that's the dinner, cholent. Or how are they going to eat the ribs? So then it's nogeya to eat. So then you're allowed to, then we have a special dispensation. We allow you to be matir neder if it's for the sarach hayom. So therefore, since we're being matir neder all these things for the whole year, nothing to do with Yom Kippur. So we can't do ataras nederim on Yom Kippur because you can't be matir neder on Yom Kippur. Therefore, we have to start Kol Nidre before Yom Kippur, so therefore we could go ahead and do the Hataras Nedarim. So in addition, that's what Rav Soloveitchik points out. Why do we do Kol Nidre before? Obviously, practically, you have to do Kol Nidre before because you can't do it on Yom Kippur. But in addition to that, Rav Soloveitchik elaborates and says that there's a concept on Yom Kippur, Lufnei, as we mentioned, the Ramban, others, Lufnei Hashem Tidharu. You're supposed to enter Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of Tahara. And you have the Giloy Shechina, you have the Shechina coming down. That's why it says, that's one of the reasons, Tosis writes, we blow shofar at the end of Rosh Hashanah. At the end of Yom Kippur. Why do we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur? Because this guy, it says, on Maimon Har Sinai, after Maimon Har Sinai was over, and they blew the shofar, that shows Siluk HaShechina. That shows the divine presence has left the mountain. Now people could go up on the mountain now. Yes. So too, we blow the shofar after Yom Kippur. They say, okay, Yom Kippur is over, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now we're not Lefnei Hashem anymore. Lefnei Hashem is, we have God in front of us, the whole Yom Kippur, and now we blow the shofar to show God's leaving, Yom Kippur is over. Hopefully he's left in a good mood forgiving us. So Rav Soloveitchik said, we don't want to, so Lefnei Hashem Tidharu, we don't want to wait until Yom Kippur, so we want to bring down the Shechina before Yom Kippur. So what do we have to do? So the Pasuk says, Elokim Nitza Ba'adaskel, that God, when there's a basin, God comes down the Shekhinah is present in when Beis Din. So we don't want to have a Beis Din Dini Mamonos, people fighting over who owes money. So the effort in order to get God to come down early, we have a Beis Din HaTorah Sedarim. We do Kol Nidre before Yom Kippur to bring down HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim Nitza Abadas Elokim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down early. So that's why we begin Kol Nidre, is to get the Shekhinah to come down. We don't want to wait till Yom Kippur. We want him to come down earlier.
What's the source that a Beis Din brings the Shekhinah down?
Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Keo. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, I believe. That God, and we learn, and you know, the Rashi quotes, you know, by Avraham, by Abido, it's a source that we have, that God dwells with the Beis Din, so therefore, we don't want to have a bad, we want to have a Beis Din, so therefore, we instituted a Hataras Nedarim to get to you. So according to this, Hataras Nedarim is random, is that we want the Shekhinah. But of course, once it's here, we'll come up with the reasons also. That's what Rav Salavetchik pointed out. We do it early in order to bring the Shekhinah down. We can't wait to Yom Kippur. We want to show God. We're so eager. Lefnei Hashem Tidharu. And that's why we're so eager. That's why we dive a mincha earlier of Yom Kippur. We want to get the Al-Khaitin so we become pure. So when we enter Erev on Yom Kippur, we already have our, you know, we began our kapara. That's one approach. A second approach to why Kol Nidre? What's the connection between Kol Nidre and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So it's based on the Zohar. The Zohar seems to compare Hataras Nedarim to the mitzvah of tshuva. The Hataras, the undoing vows, is similar to tshuva. How is it, and tshuva is a day for Yom Kippur, how is it connected? So as we gave a whole shiur on it last night on the concept of tshuva, but I'll just elaborate on a different point, that the Rambam writes, and the Rambam brings down from Chazal, that as I mentioned on Mincha Erev Shabbos, as I mentioned before Mincha on Shabbos, that the Rambam writes that basically, the Gemara, that tzaddikim on Rosh Hashanah get written up for life, wicked people get written up for death, but the Beinoni, the average individual, he's Tova Va'omed. He's hanging and waiting until Yom HaKippurim. Mm-hmm. So the Rambam writes, Im Asa Tshuva, if he does Tshuva, he'll be written up L'chaim. If he doesn't do Tshuva, he won't be. That's the Rambam.
On Yom Kippur, Rambam is talking about.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Anytime, as long as you do tshuva from Rosh Hashanah through.
Okay.
Yeah. So the question is, the Mefarshim is like, why is the Rambam pick on tshuva? Let's say I do another mitzvah. I start davening more. I daven better. I add another seder. I do this mitzvah. The Rambam seems to make it sound as you could add all these mitzvahs, it's not going to help. Only tshuvas help. Like the Shiloh, do we do, like the minig is not to do Kiddush Ravana until after Yom Kippur. But the Vilna Gaon Shita was Chaparai. No, every mitzvah you could get, do now, so that could help tilt the scale. But the minig is not just, either way, so it seems, the minig seems to go with the Rambam. It's only tshuva that makes, that could get us to be next on Machayim. So the Shiloh is why? Why is the Rambam so? There's a famous answer from Rav Aaron Cutler and others, because by all of them, if you do a mitzvah now, we already, Rosh Hashanah, we started a new year already. So if any mitzvah I do now, I'm going to get rewarded, but that's going to be for next year's cheshbon. The new year was Rosh Hashanah. It's not going to help me. I'm being judged on last year now. So doing new mitzvahs now, it's nice, but it's not going to help me. Tshuva is the only mitzvah that has the ability to uproot the past, as we discussed. A tshuva meyira, we could balance the playing field from intentional to unintentional. Or tshuva meyava, we even can turn the averas into mitzvahs. But that's what we know, so tshuva has the ability to take away something that happened in the past. That's what Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim can do the same thing. That the, like let's say someone makes it, I think it's the Mishnah, someone makes it Tanai, I'm marrying this woman on the condition she doesn't have any, she didn't take any vows. But really she did take vows, whatever they were, you know, I'm not going to eat potato chips, or I will, or whatever the vow was. And then you find out later. So you could get, the rabbis could get together and do a Hataras Nedarim, you could undo the vows, and we say the Ned that works go Mafreya retroactively, and the Kedushin still, even though the Kedushin was out tonight, and that stipulation wasn't true at the time, but even though a month later they do Hataras Nedarim, with Mafreya we still consider them married, because Hataras Nedarim has the ability to uproot something like it never happened. And that's the koach, that's the connection. We want to begin the Yom Kippur, the day of Tshuva, with Kol Nidre, because Kol Nidre is Hataras Nedarim. It has the ability to undo something like it never existed. It might be a hard concept to understand, but today with modern technology, it might be a little easier. Those who have computers and they hit the delete button, even though you could probably get it back if you know, according to the real community, you can always get it back. It depends how much you want to pay and like how deep down. But basically, it's very simple. You have everything, and Tshuva's like the delete button, and we get to erase everything. So that's how some explain. Kol Nidre, what's the connection with Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur? That Yom Kippur is all about Tshuva, erasing the past, and that's what Kol Nidre, erasing all the vows like they never happened. So much so that we consider the woman married. Moving on to school of thought number 3. This is from a German historian. I heard it from a Schechter, but he forgot the name. So I don't know the name either.
What's his name?
He wasn't. I don't know if he was a historian. He was a Rav. We're not talking about.
I'm sorry. He did the Wissenschaft des Judentums.
If you remember the name, the German historian. So he writes as follows. He writes, that back in the day, he claims, back in Alexandria in Egypt, he said, you know what they did on Yom Kippur? There was an old minig. They had a parade on Yom Kippur. Kind of like Chabad has a parade on Lag BaOmer. Why do they have a parade on Lag BaOmer? Why do they have it? They have a parade on Lag BaOmer because according to some, that was the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, but he also revealed the Zohar, assuming he wrote the Zohar. And therefore, they wanted it today where you have a parade to show you want a Mechazek learning Kabbalah. They think learning Kabbalah is very important. And therefore, they have a parade on Lag BaOmer to Mechazek that day. So he writes that there was an old minig in Alexandria that used to have a parade. What was the parade about on Yom Kippur? What were they parading? What were they pushing? The Chabad are pushing learning Kabbalah. So he wants to point out that Yom Kippur is all about Torah Shabbat Peh. It's all about the oral law. That what do we know Yom Kippur is about the oral law? Because we know we had different Kabbalahs HaTorah. We have the Kabbalahs HaTorah of Shavuos, Zman Matan Tarosenu. So that was the Kabbalahs HaTorah, Torah Shabiksav. That's the Torah, the Shavuos, the written law. But Gemara tells us in Tainis and other places what happened on Yom Kippur. The Luchos Shnios were given. The second tablets were given. And what was special about the second tablet? So the Beis HaLevi is a whole drusha. We'll have to give a whole share on the Beis. I'm sure I have in the past. But the Beis HaLevi has a whole drusha about based on Midrashim that he says as follows, based on the Midrash, that really originally God put everything on the Luchos Rishonos, whatever that means. In other words, there wouldn't have been an oral law. Everything was going to be on the Luchos Rishonos. And the Jews sinned on the Cheder Egel and Moshe broke the Luchos. So he went ahead, for whatever reason, he realized it wasn't a good idea. So on the Luchos, he only left the Torah Shebeksav, but then he gave it, and the rest was on the oral law. So he introduced so Yom Kippur is the day of Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh, that without resist the Luchas Rishonos, you wouldn't have a Torah Shabbat Peh. It was all one. Torah Shabbat Peh. And he explains the Gemara says in Tainis, Bishlam, I ended the two happiest days of the year. One is Tuba, but the other one is Yom Kippur. He says, I understand Yom Kippur. Why? Because it, it, it's a Yom Shenitna Baruchos Rishonos, and it's a day of Slicha Mechila. So Pashtis, it's two separate things. It's a day of the Luchos Shnios, and it's a day of Slicha Mechila. The Rav Soloveitchik has a whole shtickle to know. It's only a day of Slicha Mechila because it's a day of the Luchos Shnios, because he gets into a whole discussion how, in terms of, because now that it gets into the whole concept of different levels of Kedusha, Gufa Kedusha, Tashmishe Kedusha, that now it used to be that what? That the Jewish people, you know, the Torah was the Gufa Kedusha, we were just Tashmishe Kedusha. So if we're just Tashmishe Kedusha, we could lose our Kedusha. But now that we have the Torah Shel Baal Peh, we ourselves are like the cloth on the Sefer Torah. We're Gufa Kedusha, so Gufa Kedusha can never lose it. You become Tashmishi.
Torah Shel Baal Peh means that we are in
exactly. Peh. So therefore, so maybe that's the whole Yisod of the Beis HaLevi we'll discuss another time. Yes. But Yom Kippur is a day of Kabbalah's Torah Shel Baal Peh. That's what it's all about. And hence they had the parade on Yom Kippur. They were being machazek us in learning Torah Shel Baal Peh. And that's what we begin the day with Kol Nidre, as I pointed out. What is Hataras Nidarim? The Gemara has an expression. It's parchin ba'avir. It's flying in the air. In other words, it doesn't exist. In other words, if you look in the Chumash, if you look in the Torah Shebiksav, you're not going to see one thing about Hataras, and the Karaites never heard about it because they only learned the Ring Law. Hataras Nedarim is all about the koach of Torah Shebaal Peh. That we know in Judaism, you know, it's a closed book. Bereshis Bara Elokim. What's the first pasuk? If you read it literally, the beginning created God. And Rashi writes, we have to go to a different level, Darshuni. We'll have to learn this. We'll get into it more when we get to Bereshit. So the question is, why not begin with the pasuk I could understand on all levels? Why start off the Chumash on something which makes no sense, or it's apikarsis, the beginning? And the answer is, why? Because we want to teach the koach of Torah Shel Baal Peh. You can't begin the Torah. If you think there's only a Torah Shebiksav and you're not going to have a clue what's going on and you're going to get the wrong Pshatim. That's the Koach of Torah, and that's the Koach of Yom Kippur, and that's the Koach of Ataras Nedarim. And that's why they had parades on Yom Kippur to Mechazek us in Torah Shel Baal Peh. So to summarize, we have three schools of thought on the concept why Kol Nidre or why Kol Nidre before. So we explain, we want to Rav Soloveitchik explained that we want to bring in the Shekhinah before Yom Kippur, and therefore we want to bring them in so that we have a basin of Ataras Nedarim in order to God comes down, so God comes down Oro, so we could start our Tahara process. We could enter Yom HaKippur already. Instead of waiting for Yom Kippur to be Matar, we could start our Tahara process. A tahara process right away.
The Shekhinah somehow is matahar.
Yeah, well, it's the beginning of Nei Hashem Tidharu. We want to bring. Obviously, God's coming down. He's waiting. He's coming to us. He's begging us for forgiveness. He's coming us to come down. So it's that concept. We want to be lefnei Hashem. The highest level is being in front of God.
Yes.
So we get, and that leads us to tshuva. Because when we sin, we're no longer lefnei Hashem. Sin creates a barrier. So the closer we are to God, to the higher level we are. Every time we do a sin, that creates a new barrier. So he wants to come in. We want to get a head. We want to get a jump start with Nei Hashem Tidharu.
So we have to get the right atmosphere. It's not right. We get the right mood.
Correct.
To make us want.
So it's a tremendous setting the tone called Nidre. So we're bringing down, and we said it's not just coincidental, but the other school of thought called Nidre is similar to Tshuva. This like. Tshuva has the ability to erase all our previous sins. So too, Ataras Nedarim has the ability to erase any neder, even retroactively, that the people are considered married. And that's what we want to emphasize on Yom Kippur, that God's going to, Dasham Keil Racho Mechanan, he's going to, if we do what we have to do, he's going to come and forgive us. And lastly, the concept of Torah Shel Baal Peh. You have the parade, you want a Mechazek Torah Shel Baal Peh, that's Ataras Nedarim. In fact, in general, again, it's a separate year. But Torah Shel Baal Peh is always Rachmanis. That Torah Shebiksav is Mides Hadin. I'll just give one example. There are many who will have to continue on it, but it says Ayin Taches Ayin. It says an eye for an eye in the Chumash. But Torah Shel Baal Peh is not what it means. You pay mamon. Every time you have a Torah Shavah Peh punishment, it comes to make it more lenient. You never have a Torah Shavah Peh making it stricter on any type of onesh. The Torah Shavah Peh is always Midas HaChesed.
Yes.
And we want to bring down Torah Shavah Peh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Midas HaChesed on Yom Kippur.
Yes,
you're
yes.
Fine.
I mean, they're only
39 makos. Correct. It says 40 makos. We say no, 39.
Yes.
Correct. There are many other examples we'll have to get into, but that's the koach of Torah Shabbat Peh. We want to focus the Yom Kippur should be a day of Midas HaRachamim and not a day of Midas HaDin.
Thank you.
So you got immediate reward for your decision.